Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal, the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot. Welcome to the world of the paranormal, my friends, and yet we are here again on Tuesday for another episode of Paranormal Horizons, only on Blog Talk Radio, 106.5 KITC FM and 107.3 KNCP out here in Oregon. And those shows play on Saturday. This show is rebroadcast Saturday at 10 to 11 p.m. So we got a great show tonight, and it's interesting because we've had Archbishop Ron File on the show before, and as I recall the last time we had him on, we had some technical difficulty, and I know anytime you talk about exorcism or demons, things tend to happen. And what was interesting about that was I had tested all this equipment out prior, just a few minutes ago, and now stuff like multiple headphones are going down, which is weird. This evening, so we have psychic Cheryl Ann Fletcher who will be with us, and I believe she's in queue, so I'm going to click her over here in a second. So we're going to have a great show tonight talking about Archbishop Ron File does, and so it's going to be a good time. So I'm going to bring Cheryl on. Cheryl.
Yes, Jason, I am here.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, good evening.
Good evening. Well, nervous when we start talking about the darker side of things.
Right. It happens a lot.
And I know you've told us from your experiences as well. You've encountered some dark stuff. So, but without any further ado, let me bring in Archbishop Ron File, and we'll get this started, and looking forward to hearing about some of his experiences and the wonderful ministry he's doing there. Archbishop Ron File, how you doing?
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. It's been a long time since we've had you on the show.
Yes, it has been. I have to tell you that I'm experiencing some difficulty in terms of hearing you. You seem to be going on and off, so if I don't respond immediately, you'll know that I'm having some problems or issues on my end.
You know, it seems like a really common problem whenever we talk about this stuff. It just seems like stuff starts to break down and weird things start to happen.
That is very true.
But I must be fading in and out real bad. How do you hear me, Cheryl?
Well, you are breaking up quite a bit. I just came out of class, so I'm going to move my vehicle to a better location with not so many power lines. Hopefully I will get a better reception that way tonight.
Oh, no. Well, hopefully it's not too bad.
Yes. I was going to say that if the problems continue, I might be able to call you on my cell phone.
You may have
to.
Okay.
Skype.
Okay, yeah. If you might want to try that if it's still bad, and we'll see what happens there. It could be me on my end too. I don't know. Sometimes these things kind of happen. Maybe if somebody in chat could let me know how I'm coming across there. If I'm breaking up, then I'll have to figure something out.
Well, I'm actually in a grocery store parking lot, so maybe this will work better because I don't have any power lines here. So
I guess my question is to people in chat, am I breaking up a lot? If somebody could respond to that. I see we have several people in chat. Okay, well, it sounds like I'm coming across fine in chat. So if you're having trouble hearing me, maybe you could try a cell phone. This is what happens
okay.
when we...
I'm going to give it a couple of minutes if it's all right with you, because it seems like it's coming in okay now.
Okay, well, yeah, well, let's get started, and if I start breaking up, you know, maybe Cheryl can just kind of keep the flow going, and but I guess we should start off with letting everybody know who you are, what you do, the wonderful ministry you're doing out there, helping people that have these demonic problems, and because I know there may be some of the listeners out there aren't really aware of what you do.
I have a very important question before I get started, and that is, do you want the GP rating segment, or do you want the R-rated segment of our dialogue? Because I think it's extremely graphic, and if there's young children anywhere nearby, I think that they should be advised, their parents should be advised that this program could be pretty hairy.
Okay, I personally love the R-rated versions. The only thing we kind of have to avoid are, you know, any of the swear words and stuff like that. But as far as anything else is concerned, totally fair game.
You want to hear something quite interesting? This is the God's truth. I haven't cursed, and I'm not kidding you, in over close to 20 years. I never really found a real reason to curse. Isn't that odd?
I swear like a sailor.
I think it's great.
Well, in any case, should I get started or?
Yeah. Just let it roll. Let everybody know who you are, what you're doing, and I know you have some really great stories.
I think that
somebody's playing the show. It's not me. Somebody is.
Okay. Well, in any case, I like to identify myself, if I may, and I'm Archbishop Ron File. I head up an organization known as the Order of Exorcists, and what we are is an organization that's available in the event that someone may need our services in the area of demonic investigation and assessment. And based on the findings of our investigators and their assessment reports, I make a decision as to whether or not we should go further in regards to rituals, which could be quite interesting. But before we even get that far, I need to have like the full facts, and I have to know that it's a true case.
There's a lot of feedback coming across. Is Cheryl, do you have the show playing on the background? I'm trying to figure out where that's coming from.
No, I do not have it on the background whatsoever.
There's a lot of feedback coming. Yeah, it's cross looping somehow. That's really weird. Are you on speaker or are you on Skype, Ron? Are you still there, Ron? I don't know what is going on this evening. There's all sorts of problems.
This is not unusual, really.
Are you still there, Ron?
Yes, I am. Would you like me to call you back on my cell phone?
Yeah, let's try that, because we're getting a lot of feedback, and I don't know where it's coming from, and it's
Okay.
Things
I'm
are kind of weird.
I'm going to call you right back in just a few minutes.
Alrighty,
okay?
Thank you.
Okay,
all right.
Hold on.
Let's try that because we're getting a lot of feedback and I don't know where it's coming from.
Wow. Okay, it stopped. I think it might have been on his end. But how have you been, Cheryl?
I have been great. I just got out of class, psychology, and did a midterm or a midterm test tonight. So that was kind of a lot of firing of energy.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Super, actually.
Cool. Yeah, today was my first day of school. It's not very paranormal. It's not paranormal talk, but it's interesting nonetheless.
Did we lose Ron?
He's going to call back on his cell phone.
Okay, super.
So we'll get him back here in a second.
Okay. Paranormally, not too much going on, but getting excited for an event coming up, you know, at the Farrar in April, April 25th.
Oh,
getting
cool.
Ready to do the ghost hunt at the haunted school coming up. So that's my paranormal news.
Awesome. Well, I think we got him back, so I'm going to bring him back on, and hopefully the connection will be a little bit better.
Hello there.
Hi, Ron. Hey, that sounds a lot better.
Oh, most excellent. This Skype thing isn't really down to a science, unfortunately. And
no.
I like to say it's my technical ability, but it's really Skype.
Yeah, well, it messes with us sometimes, too. So, nothing is going to get in the way of us having a good conversation on your crusade against the dark forces out there. So I put it all in your lap right now, and let's continue and hear some of that great stuff.
I was talking on the phone the other day, and it was to one of our clergy who's an exorcist, and he is from back east. And as we're talking about a particular case, a voice interrupted our conversation. And it was quite interesting. It was as if we had a third-party line. And this voice was very, very rude and started to talk to us and identify us by our first name, which, again, while we're having a dialogue, when I'm having a dialogue with my clergy, they call me Archbishop, I call them Father, I call them whatever the title is. We never use first names. But this voice came on, and it decided to have a conversation with us and started to use our first names. Then it started to talk about the case that we were discussing. The case is, like all cases, are very confidential. No one knows about these cases and the details except our investigators. These are our first-line warriors, if you will. They're lead investigators, that we call them lead exorcist investigators. They have a team of investigators, and they go to make first contact with the people who requested our services. They do the actual interview and perform the demonic investigation. And I could go into that in much detail just a little bit later. But just to finish up with the story, no one has details about the cases we're working on except the teams that are involved in that particular case. This voice, extremely rude, and I might add extremely deep, started to use profanity when we tried to basically ask him who he was and why was he on the line. And I don't even know if this was possible. Of course, I'm talking on a cell phone. The priest I'm talking to is, I believe he was using a line phone. And in regards to how the communication became a third-party dialect, it was just totally beyond me. But, of course, I do have some inside knowledge about this, and it's all regards to the demonic. The demonic has ways of tapping in on what we're all about, basically. They can tap into our conversations. They can tap into every electronical device that we might have that may be situated around us. They're able to do things that would just be beyond our comprehension. And as a result, they leave us intentionally, they leave us in a state of total confusion because we start thinking about how is it possible? And then we lose track on the real issues involved when it comes to the actual attack of that may be of a demonic nature. We have to, in people in our position, we have to keep ourselves focused on the main issues and not be sidetracked by a situation such as this, where there's a third voice that appears in a telephone conversation, which is a private phone conversation, and starts revealing details about the case and revealing details in regards to our first names. So I thought that would be a quite interesting story to start the program.
I don't even know how that would be possible. I mean, I guess I could see some signals crossing or something, but not giving details on a case that some random person would be aware of. What do you think, Cheryl? I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
My take on that would be it is all based on energy, and you know, with technology being so highly energized today, I think anything can tap into anything, especially demonic, no matter what. It's got a way in, as he has explained. I totally believe in that theory completely.
And Cheryl, before I forget, it was nice meeting you and nice hearing your voice.
Oh, yeah, likewise. It's good to hear your voice, too. I've been very excited to talk to you.
It's nice to put a voice to the image of the person we feel we might be talking to. In any case, you have a very nice voice. I think you're from Texas, aren't you?
Oh, no, I'm from Nebraska.
Oh, you're from Nebraska. Oh,
but we have a lot of nasal conversations. We talked to our host.
I wonder if I sound like an Oregonian.
Oh.
I don't know what that sounds like, but yeah.
But Ron, yeah, it's a real pleasure to meet you finally over, you know, this telephone, and likewise, I really do appreciate being able to have this time with you.
I appreciate being and having the ability to be heard, because that's so important. Sometimes, one time in our lives, we're going to reach that point where we no longer have that ability, where we'll step into the next realm of existence. But while I'm still here, there's so much I love to share. And to have the opportunity to do that, even on a program such as yours, I am truly honored, and I thank you with the bottom of my heart.
It's always a pleasure to get you on, and your stories and what you're doing is really remarkable. And as you know, I don't know if you remember, you know, I tend to be more on the skeptical side, but that's just because I have a history as an investigator, not having anything to do with the paranormal. But I like talking to people like you that have these experiences, because it kind of makes me sway to becoming a believer. But I'm ultimately one of these people that kind of has to experience something a bit. It's just kind of my nature. But I do believe, you know, the stories we talk about in the past, and it's remarkable, and I have absolutely no desire to experience any of that stuff. But I do enjoy talking about it.
You know, to me, that sounds like a sign of intelligence. But in the same token, I have to be honest with you and tell you that I kind of, like, sit on the fence in regards to these issues. I'm extremely skeptical. I don't believe anything until something actually happens, until I could actually witness it or personally experience it. And then when it happens, I become a strong believer, at least for the time being, at least for that particular case. Then I have to move on to another case, and the other case might be totally bogus, may not have all the things they claim to have. And as a result, I have to make that kind of assessment. So I have to remain skeptical in everything I do in order to have a clarity in regards to what we're dealing with. Because it's extremely important to know what type of case we've been called on and what kind of people we're dealing with. Because of the human condition, there are so many different avenues that need to be explored. So we have to be open and with an open mind. We need to use our intuitiveness and our sense of discernment to approach these cases. Because some of them may not be what they say they are. And yet there are some that are very real and perhaps even frightening.
And there's a lot of, you always hear people saying that demonic possession or oppression and all that is really rare, and it's not common. And I know there's a lot of mental illness with, you know, going on out there. It seems like everybody's on some sort of medication. But in your experience, would you agree that, you know, an actual possession is a truly rare event? And is it increasing? Do you find it happening more and more as time goes on?
Okay, both excellent questions, and I'm going to address them accordingly. I will say this, that whether it's one case out of 100, that one case, the person that's involved in that one case, the odds have already been thrown out the door. As far as they're concerned, it's one in one case. It's so real that it hits them personally that they become traumatized, not only within the experience, but also in time. There's a residual effect. Even when a person has been cleansed and has been exercised through these demonic activities or possessions, they're still traumatized, where there's a form of residual that will continue in their life. And sometimes, if they're not strong enough, and understand, these people have gone through hell, literally, and as a result, they've felt, they've seen, and they've seen things that nobody should ever see. And because within their experience, when they're free from these things, they still walk away with a residual that could sometimes land them in a series of mental health clinics to being institutionalized in a mental health facility, or even having a psychological breakdown because the whole experience was so traumatic that they could not physically handle what they've actually experienced. So, to answer your question, yeah, demonic possession is extremely rare to us as we count the numbers and use the statistical numbers to justify by saying, well, yes, it's extremely rare. But the reality is, it's not very rare when you're the person that happened to be possessed by the demonic, and as a result, everyone around you is affected. When one person has a true demonic possession, every person in the household is affected. They're all traumatized. They're scared to death. They have no idea what to expect. And in some cases, the family members can also be led into the area of a psychological break or even worse. So when it happens, when the actual victim is just the one, all the family members are affected. Now, perhaps all the family members do not have the symptoms of demonic possession, but understand demonic possession would be the complete takeover of mind and body. And the personality of the demonic entity would actually manifest itself through that person's body, making a complete takeover of that person. Mm-hmm. The people in the household would not have that kind of effect, but they would see it, witness it, and experience the actual events. When that happens, and this is all part of the human analogy, well, what happens is when we receive information, so any kind of input, even whether you're reading a magazine or watching something on the internet, the information leaves a mark, a permanent mark on the cortex of your brain. Just think what would happen if you saw something that was totally unspeakable, something that would be so traumatic that it would leave not just a mark on the cortex of your brain, but it would leave such a large blemish that you would have to somehow deal with what you've experienced and kind of like carry on through the rest of your life. It would be horrible. There's so many trauma experiences that people have to go through when they're in this scenario. It's extremely, extremely scary, and it's just horrible. I pray to God that anyone that hears my voice may not have to experience some of the things that I've seen people go through in their suffering. It is totally and totally horrible. The movies, you know, they try to do the entertainment value and hit all the highlights, but, you know, they don't do it justice. Real life, a real life scenario is so horrible, so terrifying, maybe because it's the realism. It's like if you're watching the news and you hear about wars and you actually see real film clippings of people being shot, killed, and so on. it doesn't affect you. But if you were there in that country and actually saw somebody get shot and see all these terrible crimes happen, believe me, your whole experience of the event would change. You would bring it to a level of the real, if you will. And so when that's happened, it's totally different. Now, to answer your next question, are there more cases now than ever before? Now, there's two schools of thought on this, okay? 100 years ago, we in our society, we did not have the technical ability, the modern form of communication. We did not have this wonderful news delivery we know as the Internet. We did not have television, and I'm talking about 100, 150 years ago. We didn't have TV, didn't have the radio, didn't have all these conveniences that we take for granted. Okay, as a result, people back in that time were misinformed, or rather they were not informed at all, because they didn't know what was happening in the next town over, let off around the world. We have the technology where we could see things firsthand by using the Internet. We could see things happening overseas. We could see things happening in different countries. And as a result, we become more aware of what's happening. What happens is the more we become aware, and again, this is part of the human condition, the more that we open ourselves to the possibilities of other things, then the more we leave ourselves wide open, and wide open for anything, not only in a suggestive fashion, but I'm referring to demonic oppression. Perhaps the demonics will use electronics in the computers and as a delivery form to implant an idea, a thought in your mind, and as a result, you become fixated on that particular thing. Demonic oppression has been known to be a mild to severe harassment by evil spirits resulting from the openings of some doors, such as the Internet. And all this could fall under the heading of Satan's influence. The point of entry in an oppression is always by way of the mind. So since we have all these technical advances and that are at our fingertips, it's so easy for us to open the doors to those areas which should remain closed. Unfortunately, we live in a world full of modern technology. It's almost impossible to ignore. So the question is, are the cases more in terms of numbers than, let's say, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago? I'm going to say probably, based on everything I've just said, I think based on our living in the information era, we are open and people are open more so to the demonic attacks because of the times that we live in. So that's how I would answer that question.
And that makes perfect sense, but me being an individual that has absolutely no desire whatsoever to be involved in dark forces, what are some behaviors outside of technology that make people more susceptible to these negative energies? I mean, I would think like drugs or alcohol, and I was wondering for the listeners out there, can you kind of give a list of things not to do to make it easier for those types of things to happen?
Yes. Okay, well, I could probably sum it up by saying this. To prevent any of these things happening to you, you need to leave the planet. And that is not communicate with anyone. Just leave the planet. Don't let anyone know where you're going. Just find a vehicle and blast off into another universe, because that's the only way you're going to be shielded from these demonic influences that are all around us. In other words, it's pretty difficult not to be exposed to the elements that are all around us. That's
probably the easiest way I could agree.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. You know, you talk about technology. You know, I'm using the modern-day technology with electronics, but there are other forms of technology that they had a couple hundred years ago, a couple of thousand years ago. And they were devices that would make it easy to open the doors to the spirit world and to have an ongoing dialogue with an entity or several entities. And by doing so, this was a form of a technical feat to actually put this in place. So when it comes to using the technology, understand there's ancient technology and there's modern technology. I'm going to say the modern technology is probably more accessible to everyone. However, the ancient technology, the people back then had to actually make a conscious decision to do what they did in regards to opening these doors. And once these doors are open, there's no way to close them unless you contact an organization such as ours. Maybe that's a plug, I don't know.
Plug away.
An organization that uses two types of scenarios. We use, of course, our religious beliefs in God, the healing power of God. We also use the medical community. We use psychiatrists. We use medical doctors. So with the two, we combine into one system. Now, our system is so systematic that we could have our investigators expertly interview an individual and using a series of questions. And of course, all this is being filmed on video. And what I do basically is I review the assessment reports. Each question the person would have to answer, and each question is being recorded on this recording device. It's as if I'm right there with them, which means that talk about duplicating your efforts in terms of trying to get something accomplished. I'm able to do this we have 27 investigation and assessment teams around the world. So I could see what they're seeing by way of our modern technology. But understand, there's a major danger involved in this. Because I have, in fact, I posted a poster on your event page about a handprint. That was
there.
I don't know if you. Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
and of course, you know the big question is this a real scenario? Can this actually happen? Well, let me, if you allow me just a couple of minutes, I'm going to explain to you exactly what happened to me personally. Now, it's interesting. When we talk about our personal events, that is, things that actually touched us in a personal way, we could talk with authority because we know exactly what happened. And when it was happening, we were analyzing what was taking place so we could reason within our minds and understand and accept the actual experience. After saying that, I will tell you that the demonic lives and exists outside our realm of reality, outside our realm of time and space. They could be anywhere at any time. They could be back in the past. They could be in the future. They could be in our present time. They could move through time as we move through rooms in a house. They have no restrictions whatsoever. And as a result, they become extremely dangerous because we're dealing with an enemy that's been around from the beginning of time. And as a result, they know everything about us. They could size us up and know everything about us. Why? Because they had a peek into the master design of the human race when they were angels in heaven. And Lucifer was thrown out of heaven and took all these angels with them, more fallen angels, which we know them as demons now. And those are the demons we interact, and hopefully not all of us. But unfortunately, there are a few that actually have encountered and interact with these demonic forces. It's extremely dangerous, and I pray that not everyone will ever experience this. But the truth of the matter is that in one person's life, you're bound to at least be touched by some form of demonic oppression, or even in some cases, a demonic infestation, which is also people may view it as a haunted house or environment or location. But the demonic infestation can roam within your space, and it could be extremely upsetting, say the least.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But getting back to what I was talking about in regards to the actual movement of the demonic itself, and it could come in and out of time and so on, I'm sitting in front of my computer one day, and this wasn't too long ago. I'm sitting and I'm reviewing assessments. These are assessments that our investigators have submitted to my office so I could review them and consult with our physicians and consult with God, if you will, and see whether or not we are having a real, whether it's a real valid case of demonic involvement. So I'm looking at this assessment. This assessment was done a month prior to me actually viewing it on my video screen. This is a whole month ago, okay? And so I'm watching something that appeared to be quite genuine. And as I'm looking at it more intensely and studying the motions, the shadows, the movement on my monitor of my computer, something interesting took place. I felt, and I know you're a skeptic. I know you're a skeptic.
That's okay.
But,
that's okay.
Keep an open mind about this, okay?
I do have an open mind.
A surge of energy came from the keys of my computer and then out from the screen and literally pushed me back several inches. I was thrown by this because, first of all, I'm sitting in a very stable chair. There's no reason why I should be thrown. But my attention was on the screen and on the movement and the shadows of the screen, and as a result, I was thrown by some form of energy, if you will. It pushed me back to the backrest of my seat, and then I felt a stinging sensation as I picked my shirt up. There was a handprint. There were five fingers and a palm, and it was right in my left side of my body. Now, I have to tell you, a year and a half prior to that happening, I was also struck by an invisible demonic entity and placed in the hospital intensive care for 30 days, but that's another story. Getting back to this story, I saw the handprint, and I immediately decided to go to the local hospital, which is in Upland, California. They immediately, because of what happened to me a year and a half ago, and I almost died as a result of an exorcism, they rushed me in. I had a CAT scan, a chest X-ray, and a blood test. That was determined as to how this handprint appeared out of nowhere on the left side of my body. I'm sitting in the hallway in this hospital on top of the gurney, and my chest is totally exposed in my midsection. And the orderlies in the hospital are walking by, and one said, made a comment and said, "Boy, you must have been in a fight with Mike Tyson. I mean, look at that handprint." And it was kind of humorous at the moment, but I realized that it wasn't Mike Tyson. It was somebody a lot more powerful. In any case, to make a long story short, 6 hours later, the doctors and some nurses came, and they decided to reveal what the test revealed. This was the CAT scan, this was the blood test, and the chest X-ray, and they found that there was nothing at all, nothing conclusive whatsoever as to how this print appeared on my body. They had just no reason. Now, you see, it's interesting because these were the same doctors and medical staff that told me the same thing a year and a half ago when I almost lost my life and I felt this invisible 2x4 strike me on my left side of my body. They told me the same thing. After three operations and the removal of 2-liter sack of blood around my heart, which was on my, again, left side, and after being in the hospital intensive care for 30 days, the doctors, the same staff, told me, "We have no idea as to how you were able to succumb to this condition." So now we're talking about an area that is beyond science. We're talking about a dialogue here about something that is quite unbelievable. The skeptics will scratch their head. They may, if they see the actual bruise, they may say, "Well, you must have been in a fight, or this must have happened by some physical force." But the reality is, there was no physical force. How it occurred is a mystery to the medical community. It's not a mystery to me. I've had this experience before, and as a result, I can attest to the fact these things are real. And you can be a skeptic and not believe. I mean, and hold on to the very last point of your point of view, but understand, there used to be an old cliche about you will never find atheists in foxholes. I don't know if you ever heard of that cliche. In other words, you never heard of the cliche, right?
No, my generation.
Okay. It's an old cliche, and it means that if you're under combat, you're in the military, and you're in a foxhole, you never believed in God before, but you see all these bombs blowing up, and you see your fellow soldiers being shot and dying, and all deaths all around you, then all of a sudden you're no longer an atheist. You become a true believer in God, because guess what you'd be doing? You'd be praying. Praying that it's not going to hit you, you're not going to be the next victim. So that's where the old cliche comes from.
Sorry about that.
I keep forgetting. I feel so old when I talk to young people.
I'm not that young. I'm over 40, but got a little age to me. But I hadn't heard that one, and that is a good one. And I do want to play. You know, I did make a promo for you a while ago. So if you would like me to play that, I could play that here in a second, if that's okay.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we play it every once in a while. But
really?
You know,
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I play it regularly, actually. Not every show, every probably two or three shows we play it. We have a small little stable of promos that I've made. But getting back to what you were saying really quick before we do that is, I'm not really cool with the idea of just kind of being a pawn on this planet with good and evil fighting over our whatever's going on. That just seems kind of like not a good situation. Like, how would I... You said that you can't really protect yourself totally. I mean, is praying, is going to church, is that any level of protection? There has to be something. I mean, if they can attack you so easily, there has to be some way that you can counter it, because with good you have evil and positive, negative. There's got to be something more concrete you can do to level the playing field.
Well, let me back up just a bit. You did say you're a skeptic, but you're a skeptic that prays for protection from demonic forces. That doesn't sound much of a skeptic to me, but I got to tell you, okay? You have no choice in the matter, my friend. You're all around good and evil, okay? You have to have one to understand the opposite. You cannot have good unless you have something that's bad. You can't have something that's pure unless something is rotten. You wouldn't know the difference between the two. You have to have night and day to distinguish the two. This is part of the world that we live in. So we have to understand these things and accept it as fact. Can you pray for protections? Yes, I believe you can. I believe based on your level of faith, and when I say your level of faith, I mean your true inner belief system. If you believe that God can protect you and does hear your prayer, and you pray the St. Michael's Prayer, which I say that religiously, pardon the pun, but I say that in every ritual we do, is the St. Michael's Prayer is incorporated. And as a result, have you ever heard of the St. Michael's Prayer?
I don't, actually. Can you say it familiar with it?
I'm going to say it for you, okay?
Okay, cool.
St. Michael the Archangel, are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who prowl about the world for the ruins of souls. Amen. Now that's the St. Michael's Prayer. And that's the prayer that we say and our investigators say before they enter the premises of what could be a demonic infestation, demonic oppression, demonic possession, whatever the situation is, they will meet outside the premises and pray that prayer. It's a prayer of protection. I have a very bad habit. I pray the prayer almost constantly because I'm constantly attacked. But, you know, but again, the more you know about these things, the more it becomes more real and becomes part of your very space. And before you know it, you're constantly fighting the battles of evil on a daily basis.
Yeah, and you nailed me, actually, because I am a skeptic, but I'll be honest, and you kind of called me out. I do pray before I go to bed every night, even though I'm a skeptic. I think it's preemptive, maybe.
Good job, Jason.
Well, you know, and I even do mention Archangel Michael in that too. I've actually recently incorporated that. I figure it couldn't hurt, and it's heartfelt. It's not in jest or anything. It's I figure I could use all the cosmic assistance I can get, and I try and lead a good life. But now, Cheryl, I wanted to ask you, because you have told us in the past about some negative experiences you've had, and I was curious. I don't recall whether or not you have a protection thing that you do, or how do you do that, Cheryl?
Well, whenever we go into investigations where I pick it up immediately. It's just because of the gift that I have, but I know immediately if we have an infestation or if there is evil presence there. And I always, we say the St. Michael's Prayer when we go into a investigation where I know it's there and I announce it. We automatically, we talk a lot about Jesus during the time that we are investigating. We call on the Lord quite a bit. We're deep Christians, and when we go in, I think we wear that coat of armor. And, you know, that alone, just having that coat of armor, you know, warrior in Christ is everything when it comes to going up next to something like that. And Ron, I have been, I have experienced an exorcism. You know, last time I was on Jason's show, we did talk about all the symptoms and all the things it represents, and everything you said about, you know, demonic possession is 100% accuracy. I have experienced everything you've said, and also the rest of you later, the residual later, even with myself, you know, the cortex. I had to witness what a family member went through, and I was right there and saw it all. And yes, it does make a mark, and yes, I had to deal with it. And yes, it was very painful, very frightening. You know, it has never left my mind. I deal with it on a daily basis. My niece still deals with it, you know. So with the whole concept of working in demonic possession or evil realms, if you don't have Christ, you know, deep in your soul, and you know St. Michael's Prayer, and you walk in his footsteps, in Christ's footsteps, you know, you're open to attack. That's all there is to it.
Well, it's, yeah, I've done paranormal investigations. I can't say that I've had anything like that intense happen, and I'm glad, and I don't do a lot of paranormal investigations anymore, but there are a few to do. But yeah, I think it's good to protect yourself, and I'm totally with you on that. I do say, like I said, I do say the prayers and stuff like that. And it makes sense that there are dark forces out there. I will concede to that, because there's, you know, there's opposites to everything. So if there's good, I mean, it makes sense that there has to be evil. Maybe I don't want to believe in it. Maybe I'm skeptical about it just out of fear. But from a, you know, from a standpoint of there being opposites, it makes perfect sense to me.
What's happening, Jason, is... You're demonstrating what is referred to as self-preservation. You know, mm-hmm. You don't want to cross that line where you put yourself in harm. And as far as I'm concerned, that's probably one of the most intelligent things I will ever hear, is when someone could tell me that, what you've just said. It's all self-preservation. Unfortunately, there are some people... who throw themselves in this type of scenario where they feel they have many years of paranormal investigation experience. They want to join our organization. I review their experience. I see that they've been, that they're a lead paranormal investigators, and they have their own team. And I need a team in that particular city. I accept them and I approve their membership. Then we've had, people like that fall in the same. In fact, all our investigators go through the same process. Now, what happens is we've had some teams that have quit our order because they crossed that line that they were totally unexpected. Now, you see, your level of belief, okay, is in different levels. There's different levels of belief. You could either acknowledge that these things can happen with an open mind, or you could say, I truly believe it happened because it affected me personally. I was touched by it. As a result, your whole level of belief goes up to the next level. Well, I've had some teens that have joined our organization where I assign cases to them. And as a result, some of them were real demonic cases that were going on within that environment. They exposed themselves to something they were totally unexpected to encounter. You know, they walked in with the belief system that, yes, these things are real and they can happen. But then their level of belief, like, skyrocketed when they realized that what was happening was they're being pushed. Their hair is being pulled. They start seeing things that they've never seen before, like things moving in the room, like the lights turning on and off, but things moving, like, and then you hear this growling sound coming from nowhere. And then they start experiencing other, what we refer to as physical manifestations. They see it firsthand for the very first time. All of their years as a paranormal investigator and all their experience is thrown out the door because they are not prepared for when it comes to demonic investigation and dealing with the very real entities. The entities are aggressive. They're not passive. They're not like what most people would believe as being human spirits that are earthbound, but rather they're aggressive demonic entities that will dig and target you and start digging at you and digging at you a little at a time. Before you know it, you know, you're almost a basket case. As you leave the investigation and you go home, you take the problems with you. As a result, because of everything that you've exposed yourself to, thinking that you were well prepared for the actual investigation, thinking it was just a paranormal investigation and not a demonic investigation, not really truly understanding the difference, and yet for the very first time being exposed to the real demonic entities, you know, it becomes, they're thrown back because of the experience. And as a result, we've had teams quit our organization because one team said something about they have children in their household and they didn't want to expose them to the dangers of the demonic forces. Another person said that they quit because their arm fractured. After they left the premises, as they were walking to the car, their arm snapped. And it was just a snap. Just you could almost hear the snap. And the people around him, and they were standing, they actually heard his arm snap for no reason whatsoever. It was an attack. It was a physical attack by the demonic. There's a lot of what can be termed as kind of scary when you understand something and then your level of belief escalates due to a personal experience. When this happens, you are totally changed. You're a different person. Your personality even changes, you know. And as a result, you know, you're more cautious. And anything doing with the demonic, you want nothing to do with. Or any type of some of these investigators have not only quit our teams because of their experiences, but they've never gone back to paranormal investigations just in case they should happen to run across a demonic and have the same kind of experience. They know the dangers because their level of belief was escalated through personal contact. And this is what I say. I'm looking for experienced lead paranormal investigators who have their own team, but with the full understanding and knowledge that when they enter our organization, they should have both eyes open, because when you're dealing with the demonic, anything is possible. And since they're the first ones that make first contact, they do the first contact interview, they do the actual assessment, they walk through the entire house. As a result, they're leaving themselves totally exposed unless they're properly prepared. And very few people are truly properly prepared.
I know I wouldn't be prepared. See, I got too much drama in my life from people. I don't need dark spirits following me around. That would just be too much.
You know what, Ron? I got to tell you something. I'm not afraid of it. I haven't been afraid of it since my death experience when I was 11 years of age. And I have been doing this for 40, 4 years. And you know what? Since the experiences that I've had, not only working against demonic force, but also just doing paranormal investigations, nothing scares me anymore at all. After knowing and seeing what I've seen and I have dealt with personally, nothing scares me anymore. The only thing that scares me is people's behaviors in the real time.
I pray honestly that you will always have that attitude that nothing scares you. I pray that this will always be with you. But one day understand that that could change very quickly if something dramatic happens to you, even to a degree where you almost lose your life.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think of myself as being invincible. I almost died like a year and a half ago.
I almost died too, Ron, at 11 years of age.
Well, I want you to understand too that I've done over 2,000 rituals where the demonic wasn't directly involved. I got through it for many years, totally not being hurt. I mean, I was just, in fact, my self-confidence just simply escalated from there, and I thought I was totally invincible.
Right.
But when something happens, it's like being robbed in a dark alley. Somebody mm-hmm. pulls a knife out and threatens your life, and you're frightened. Not to death, but you're frightened. And then he decides to thrust that knife into your midsection and cut you open. And perhaps maybe some of your intestines are starting to hang out by this time. Your attitude of, well, I'm not afraid of anything, it changes drastically. When I was saying your level of belief can get you from point A to point B, I mean that it can get you from point A to point B. If a person has been possessed by a demonic, there's an interesting defense mechanism in their brain which allows them to suppress those terrible, horrible memories. And as a result, they become dormant memories in their brain. So they cannot remember what actually took place while they were going through their possession. So what happens is they can live the rest of their life as almost a normal human being, because our brain is designed. God created us in such a way that he's placed a defense mechanism within our brain, which we could go and we could suppress all of these horrible, horrible memories that we're exposed to. Now, especially when it comes to the demonic. As a result, okay, you could have lost your life, you could have had a near-death experience, all of that. I guarantee you that no matter how much you think you recall and remember, there's a lot of information that you have forgotten. And information is still there in the back of your brain, of course. I mean, it's in your subconscious, but you can't get to it unless you go through hypnosis and maybe some other ways. But other than that, it's really hard to have full recall over a traumatic experience. This is how the brain works. So
well,
there are certain things in
on,
life.
Though, let me just tell you, the whole thing was recorded, and I have it on a Sony recorder. There's nothing, honest to God, that I have forgotten. But for some reason, you know, once you've been through it, until you've experienced it, I guess it's the reason why I'm not afraid is because I know it really does exist. And I don't know if that makes me some kind of a warrior, but I will tell you that, yeah, I haven't forgotten a moment, especially, you know, watching my niece go straight up into my face while I'm holding her on the couch, holding her down, and she levitated an inch and a half off the couch at 98 pounds, and I'm 143, and her whole face became distorted, eyes completely dilated, tongue extended out 3 inches longer than normal, and she tried to bite my face. There's nothing I don't recall. I heard the sounds all around me. Everything. I mean, and it just, you know, once you've been through it, like, you know, we talk about, you know, until you've been there and done that, and you know it really exists, It's almost like I'm not afraid of it because I do know it. It really does exist. And it can happen anytime.
You know, and also say, too, when you say you're not afraid, it also does something positive to your very person. It builds your faith.
Exactly.
You know, you become further protected through your inner belief system, so it protects you, which is a good thing, which is
yep.
a very good thing.
Well, see, we're kind of, boy, we've really flown through this show here, so I want to make sure that we should probably wrap it up, but I want to make sure that both of you can give information regarding your websites and how to contact you. So, start with Ron.
Well, actually, I have two websites, but all the members in our order have their own websites, and you can find them on Facebook, I'm sure. But mine is www.orderofexorcist.weebly.com. And the other one we have is www.orderofexorcist.com. And we're having a third one designed by a professional website designer who's volunteered their time and services to make this website for us, so we can't wait till it comes out. So when that comes out, I'll make sure that I publicize it. And again, all our members who are lead exorcists, they have their own websites, and you can find them on Facebook.
Awesome. Yeah, the time's just flying. And now, what about you, Cheryl? You do a lot of stuff. You talk to people and help them.
Oh, yes, definitely. They can reach me at Cheryl Ann Elliott with two T's, Fletcher, on Facebook. They can also reach me by email at Cheryl@extraordinaryconnectionswithCherylAnn.com. And they can also reach me through J.D. Campbell. He's on Facebook. He's the co-owner and founder of Paranormal Seekers of Iowa. That is the team whom I work with, and that's my information.
Cool. Well, Archbishop Fowle, I want to thank you so much for coming on. The time has flown by, and
I want to thank both of you. Cheryl, it was nice meeting you, too. I wish you the best of luck.
It was a pleasure.
And Jason, you know, you're always my buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate your friendship, and I always learn a lot when we do talk. You know, we have to get you on the show more, because I know you have so much more that you can share with everybody. And it's honestly, I'm afraid of it, but it's a subject that I'm very interested in. I always love hearing about it. So, I guess we got to kind of wrap this up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to close the show with that promo so we can get that in. And Cheryl, thank you for coming on the show and co-hosting with me. It's always great to get you on as well. And I will talk to both of you later. And I should probably plug myself here. Anybody that's interested in Paranormal Horizons, check us out at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And you can only listen to the show, obviously, on Blog Talk Radio, but also 106.5 KITC FM and 107.3 KNCP. And those are two Central Oregon stations. So to both of you, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'm going to close with this promo.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks,
Ron.
Okay.
The Order of Exorcists. Of Exorcists.
There is a lot of good in this world, but with good, you must have the duality of evil. There are dark forces out there. You might not see them or be able to sense them, but they are there, waiting to prey on your weaknesses. If you have a desire to help others in need that are dealing with these dark forces, you can check out the Order of Exorcists under the jurisdiction of Sacred Order of St. Michael the Archangel. The Order of Exorcists is looking for exorcist investigators. You will be trained to make first contact with the clients, conduct interviews and demonic investigations. Once that is completed, you will turn in an assessment for further action. If this sounds interesting to you, you can contact orderofexorcists.weebly.com for more detailed information.